Look, hey, this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. They telling me to stop. But I ain't even start. Tryna keep it real, yeah. Tryna keep it raw, yeah. Something you can feel, hey. And help you change your thoughts. Yeah, this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. Getting vulnerable, yeah. Showing you my scars, hey. Nah, I ain't got no chill, yeah. I do it for my God, yeah.
Hey, why
yeah.
We do it?
Said I do it for my God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey.
All right, fellas.
Yeah.
We are back. We are back in 2022. Welcome back to the Cul-de-sac Kings.
Ooh.
Rated R edition. Ooh. Or is it rated R edition Cul-de-sac Kings? Doesn't really matter. We here, you know? You got me, JD, Jammin' J, Double R, Jamar. I go by many names.
Hey.
Who we got with us?
You already know what time it is. It's your boy, Double L, Lonel. We in here.
Yes, sir. Papa Shy. Shy right here. You know what I'm saying? We back in the building. We're excited to be here 2022. It's a lot going on. A lot not happening, too. But,
Yeah.
You know.
It has been so much happening.
Yeah.
Especially going into 2022. Especially when it comes to this pandemic. I don't know about you guys, but every other person I know had been under the weather or affected by this Flurona, Corona, whatever, man.
The vid.
It's not a joke. It's real, people.
COVID is real, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
For real, bro.
Yes. This is what I'm trying to wrap my mind around. You know, it's like, you know, I understand, like, there's so many protocols and so many, you know, do's and don'ts with COVID, right? But I don't get what's up with the no mask in public. I'm trying to understand that one. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, maybe this could be a controversial topic,
you
right?
You know what? That was good.
But you know, because at the end of the day, I'm like, man, it's like, I say 50 people in here. I'm the only one with a mask on. It's like, damn. Like, what is this like? You know, I mean, is COVID not real? I thought it was a real thing.
Right.
But I don't know. What y'all think about that?
I don't know. I feel like psychologically, people really are just trying to pretend like it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they're done.
Yeah.
Even though it's not done with us. Like,
right.
I mean, and I think, you know, it's tough because I think obviously that people have different, temperaments when it comes to dealing with, you know, controversial situations and things like, you know, diseases and how people want to manage it. But I mean, it's a lot, man. And I think I find myself trying to assume the best in people, but it's hard, man, because it's just like, bro, like, do you not have any sympathy or any kind of sense of, you know, like, any kind of, like, just heart for, like, a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Like,
consideration.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Consideration.
I'm going to say this, guys. Like, to be honest, and this is my understanding of the situation, is that no one knows anything for real, you know? And I say that because I had an opportunity to read an interview on NPR from the director of the CDC, and it's always developing information, and she was talking
That's
about
true.
The challenge to process developing information, you know, with mutations and everything, you know, the way that it seems that certain things are getting out of control to the point where people don't know necessarily what to do exactly because data is changing every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that being said, you know, we are encouraged to take those safety precautions, right?
Yeah.
By getting vaccinated and wearing a mask. And I think that it is common decency because after this experience that I experienced with Omarion, it was like
touch. I was touched.
I realized like, yo, germs really do transmit. You know what I'm saying? And I respect the fact of having a layer of protection, like a mask or whatever, you know. And I also still believe, you know, we're going to get it. If I see you, if we're in contact, it's just, it's going to happen. But let's be courteous, right? Let's be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, though certain things may be a feel-good measure, you don't know either. You feel me? Like, I know a lot of people who came into the situation, have seen a lot of people who came into the situation with arrogance. And then they become affected. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to be cautious, you know, and that's how I feel about it. People feel that, you know, their rights are being taken away and, you know, freedom is being stripped of them. You know, were we ever really free? You know, and I don't want to get too deep on that. But come on.
You had me at the disrespect part. I was like, man, listen, they ain't trying to respect us. You know what I mean?
Come on, man.
But, yeah.
It's different, man. We're definitely living in a different world. You know, we're going on with our second year into this pandemic. Now this word is being thrown around like epidemic now, right? Like the Omarion is about to come in and take over, you know, change COVID. But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, man, it's really about, you know, how to keep your family safe and how to keep yourself safe. I think one of the, you know, I feel like we all at some point have had COVID at this moment, right?
Whether you tested positive or not.
Yeah, bro. And so that's been the most inconvenient part, honestly, for me and my family, just knowing that if we, you know, God forbid, the fatal, you know, all of that extra, but but the fact that of the matter is that, hey, you got to shut down shop for a certain amount of days. And, and school, you know, they're saying, hey, 20 days your kid can't come back to school, right? So
20 days.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. It's wild, you know, which, you know, I get it, but it's extreme measures. But now they saying, hey, kids don't have to wear masks in school.
Yeah.
You're right. And so, I feel like there's a normalization about to happen.
Yeah.
And it's coming. Like, this is going to be the new normal. I don't think we're ever going to get back to that peace of mind of going to the Siegel Center or going to a live event with mass people. I don't think we're ever going to have that peace of mind again,
bro. You said a key thing, and I think it does also, you know, as we go through this adversity, I think we do have to accept, you know, that things have changed and that they will continue to change. And as much as I want this to go away, it's like a, you know, you've been wounded and it's going to leave a scar, and you see that scar and it's a memory and you're going to be affected by that. So that sense of normalcy is definitely, it's evolving, and, you know, going to public spaces without thinking twice and things like that is something that a lot of people are going to be working through and coping with. And, you know, I'm always positive about the situation and bringing light, but maybe, I mean, one thing that I want to continue for us to do, because back in the day, like, I would go to public spaces and it would trip me out because, like, you know, I go to the bathroom, I see somebody, he's sitting down, I can tell he's taking a dump or whatever, you feel me? And the next thing you know, like, I'm in the bathroom, I'm like, you know, my man dropped the bomb, it's cool. You know, he get up, and he just walks straight out the door.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Let's wash our hands a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You feel me? Let's take these, let's bring in these good hygienic habits.
But why, like, bro, like, it's... almost can't fathom it, like, how that's, like, normal for people to, like, legit do what you just said.
Absolutely.
Like, I see, I mean, I work at a school and I see these, like, kids literally come out the stall and just, like, walk out, or they, like, try to, like, sprinkle their hands for 2 seconds.
Fingertip.
Don't even wipe their hands off and just bounce. I'm like, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, bro. Like, I legit get sick in my stomach, man.
So has COVID exposed us to how nasty we really are?
Yeah, facts. Like, big facts, man.
No hand hygiene. Hand hygiene is terrible.
For real.
It was like that before, but gosh.
Yeah, like, you super sensitive now. Like, you, I like, the dude wash his hands. Like,
right.
You know, like, and, like, I came into, like, just, like 2020 after the pandemic really hit hard, and then you started to mingle again.
Yeah.
Like, fist bumps became the real thing. Yeah, you know, it's like, what's good? Boom, nah, we good, boom, right? And, you know, you kind of almost like, now I'm like, damn, I shake someone's hand. I'm like, damn, I don't know.
Bro.
I don't know.
Over the, oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you like this.
You you counting your head, how long you got to you to wash your hands, right?
Like, it'll mess with you so bad, like, I'll be right back.
I won't lie to you. Over the holiday, as we went into this new year, I was shaking hands and kissing babies left and right, bro. Yeah. And I guess that's maybe how we ended up, you know, getting exposed. But at the same time, that's just what we enjoy doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those it's a part of our culture. Yeah, and right. Honestly, personally, I don't want to lose that. Right? So I have to figure out what balance looks like.
And granted, like, I think there's a lot of people that just feel that way. Like, it's a right, like, they feel like they have a right to something, or they have a desire for something that they don't want to give up and they're ready to give it up. Feel like they've been, you know, in a situation where it's like, hey, like, I just I'm okay with taking this risk, right? You know, but ultimately your risk taking can impede on my health, based on what's going on. But it's a lot, man. Responding to something that you said though, Jamar, as you said, like, you know, I think most people come to this conclusion. Yes, like, we are moving forward and having to just live with this. And I think, like, the NBA is probably, like, the biggest, like, metaphor for me, or maybe not metaphor, but just kind of, like, grounds to kind of, like, pay attention to. Because before, 2020, they shut it down. It was in a bubble. Now it's like, you know, I played fantasy basketball. Like, I was hit. Like, half of my players couldn't even play.
Yeah.
But they still kept going. And so it's like, all right, we got to push through. We got to find a way. But I'm curious as to, like, how this is going to affect so many people who already struggle with either like anxiety or mental illness or just like health in general. Like, I know there's people who still are just struggling with like this idea of like what will normal be, because before it was normal, I still had health issues. Now it's like, it's legit scary to just be out and about for a lot of people, you know?
No doubt. Yeah, man. I think it's definitely going to exacerbate any type of anxiety that was already pre-existing, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's going to develop some that wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, and because of how impactful COVID was when it first came on the scene, I mean, it was like, if you got it, you was going to die. I mean, that was kind of the messaging behind it, right? It's like, we don't know much about it, so, hey, let's shut everything down. You think about that was a very, like, concerning time and very traumatic, you know. And I mean, to a point now, like, I can't even really watch TV the same, because it's damn, where they mask?
You watch a movie, right? Like, you never mask.
No mask. Like, that ain't real. You know, you know. So, like, I hope our whole reality is kind of been flipped upside down. Damn. And it's kind of hard even going back to that place where, damn, when was the last time I actually went out and I never had a thought of, damn, do I got COVID? Shit, that person just was coughing, you know? Right. And so, but to answer your question, man, I do think anxiety is contributing a lot. COVID is contributing a lot to people's anxiety, and the fact of the matter is that now you can't even really congregate with family and friends the way you want to. You can't go see, you know, the elders in your family the way you want to.
Right.
I know when I got COVID back in October, man, you know, I was around a lot of people that weekend, and I think the psychological warfare I was having was, damn, I was around, you know, some older folks in my family, and it really like had me concerned and worried that, damn, what if I've given them COVID and knowing they're at this fragile age that this could potentially hurt them in a major way. So, you know, I think like kind of going back to the mask conversation, it's like, okay, we have to still do our part to ensure that we're protecting people we love, one, because I don't want to be that one that gave, you know, my grandma or, you know, elder something, or just anybody, my child, and it hurts them in a major way, you know, that, like, I can't carry that one. I don't want to carry that one.
And I think, unfortunately, that's what has the power right now in this pandemic and keeps us, you know, fearful or concerned.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yeah. It's the psychological part, because let's not get it twisted. You know, when I had the symptoms, it felt familiar. You know, I've had the flu before. I've had a cold before.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time,
it's the severity of it, right? Mm-hmm. You think, okay, well, now can I die? Or can I give this? Like you said, like, I was under the weather, bro. And I went to go see my mom's, and I was like, damn, like, I want to hug my mom. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I want to at least, I didn't even want to come in. And I'm because of the severity and the psychological mm-hmm. part. Mm-hmm.
And I would even say, like, it's affecting our younger ones on a level, too. Like, I can think about, you know, my son. Like, we had a conversation, what was it, last week. And he, you know, just been having some issues and just being in the school building mm-hmm. because of just these different thoughts and real situations where, like, some of his, you know, friends or some of his peers at school have had COVID, and him just coming home and talking mm-hmm. about, like, yo, like, I don't want to get this. Like, I don't want to get COVID, because in his mind, it's just like this thing that's out there. And it's, and yeah. you know, the fact that, like, our kids, you know, have, like, you know, for my younger two kids, have grown up in a situation where, like, if you go into a public place, you got to put a mask mm-hmm. on. Yeah. And so, like, just, like, what the long-term effects of that may be or may not be, I don't know. But just, like, just thinking, like, yo, like, that's all they know. Like my daughter Joyce, too, all she knows is going to school and, like, having a mask on, even though she don't have it on, like she should all the time. But it's right. just, like... It's this idea, like, I gotta wear this, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, hopefully that won't have any real long term effects, because she's still around us, and, you know, we're not wearing masks at home. But, like, right. but just kind of like, how are we, like, how is this kind of, like, playing out mentally and emotionally?
Bro, you know? I think I want to sit with that for a little bit, and, you know, kind of talk about the effects of our children.
Yeah.
Because whether we see it on the stage or behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They're being affected
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. by this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's an opportunity for more fear, you know? Mm-hmm. And from them to, I mean, again, their education is being affected. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The way that they socialize is being affected. Mm-hmm. And this is me not complaining. It's just me making notes, because most of us are, what, late 80s babies? Right. You feel me? Mm-hmm. 90s, late 80s babies or whatever.
Y'all
90s?
80s. Oh, 80s.
Okay, okay. 87. 88. 86. All right, exactly. Ain't that crazy?
Ain't no 90s anymore.
You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, 90 babies.
Weirdos. Nah. They're not going to listen to this now.
Say, y'all wish y'all was us. That's weird. Yeah,
whatever, man. We the middle child or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But... I have to take note of that, man, because when we grew up, we did not have to think about this at all. We had Robitussin and
sick. Tussin.
Like, we had Tussin. You know what I'm saying? Down. Like, you know, we had chicken pox. You know what I'm saying? Like, chicken pox was a thing, true. But, true. You know,
I actually never got chicken pox. Right?
I did.
I never
you was it. Different.
Everybody got that. I'm having to get a shot to, like, make sure I don't get
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I never got it.
See, vaccinations.
Man, so you don't know about no oatmeal baths. So you don't know about no oatmeal baths.
I know about them just because my eyes.
You don't know about that Calamine lotion. That Calamine, you know what I'm saying? Lotion. Pink dots everywhere.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I didn't have to put it on myself, but.
But yeah, bros. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the part that really has me thinking a lot. You know what I mean? And, you know, just trying to understand what normalcy looks like and being able to continue to, like, teach that with my son. You know what I mean? Knowing that he's coming into a new age and generation, I want him to be as healthy mentally as possible, because I would say that it's fair to say that, and we talked about this in our last episode, you know, our children are going through adversity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're going through hardship with this because they are limited in just being themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy all the time just seeing your little one run around, play outside with a mask on and stuff like that, especially when we never did that. You know what I'm saying? We like, dang. We saw something like that. We like, what's wrong with him? We may not play with that kid. Yeah, you know what I mean? No disrespect or whatever, but it's these things that I'm really just learning how to navigate as a father, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that you're absolutely right. I can just kind of just talk on a personal note. So last year, when my wife was pregnant, well, we shut down everything.
Yeah.
You know, so kids couldn't go outside. They couldn't play with their friends. You know, and I felt so bad. You know, we both felt bad. It's like, man, like, because, you know, we wanted to have another child. Our younger two had to suffer and sacrifice fun and, you know, and it took a you know, a while for us to feel comfortable, just allow them to, you know, just, you know, get out there, right? You know what I mean? I think Jack probably suffered the most.
Bro, he was dying. You know, so, he was like, I want to play outside, man. Where's my man, Jace? Yep.
So I think, like, I think sometimes we don't really put in perspective how much COVID has impacted our families, because, you know, as adults, we still get up and move how we want and go where we want, but there is still some like resistance to do the things that you would normally want to do, you know, or go. Like, you know, I think I was telling y'all this not too long ago, like, I've always had the spot, like, yo, let's link, let's chill, right. But now it's like,
yeah,
I gotta hit this one mouth at the crib. Like, I'm like, you know, so, like, honestly, sometimes it's not even worth the fight. It's not even worth like, you know, like I just said, I don't want to be the one, you know,
right.
To say, hey,
nobody wants to be the one.
You know, and so, I think definitely the kids, man, suffering a lot. You think about where they were last year, especially out here in this area, they were all virtual, right? And then this school year, boom, you got to go to school now,
right?
And now you got to have masks. You got to, you know, be, you know, some type of 6 feet distance from your peers. But you know, I think just those two different contrasts, it's like, it's night and day. And, like, educational, like, in socialization, like, the things that they really suffered from not being in school.
Yeah.
And now you go to school, you have, you know, the kids that left school that were in kindergarten, they come back as kindergartners, right? Yeah. But they go into the first grade. You have a whole new set of kindergartners, right? Then you have the second graders who, you know, so it's everybody's still behind. It's like, the end game and Avengers, the blip, right? Yeah. It's like you come back and now you're trying to just get, you know, kind of continue where you left off. And I feel like that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, and I think what's also really tough is that, you know, I feel like our kids and kids in general are having to make these, like, grown-up decisions about, like, how they want to move. Mm-hmm. Because what I see, because, you know, being at a school, is I see a lot of kids rebelling in this too, who it's just like, nah, bro, like, I'm not wearing a mask, like, really? I mean, like, in essence, like, you know the kids is like, if ain't nobody watching, they mask down or it's under their chin or whatever.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the kids who's really like, yo, like, I can't play around. Like, I you know, maybe they have a family member who's compromised or something like that.
Right.
And it's just like, so it's like you see this, like, these undertones of kids having to make these grown-up decisions about just their own health and safety that's really difficult.
Yeah.
And you see them, even, like, how they choose their friends now just based on all of this. So it's like, are they safe? Are they? Can I be around them and I'm safe?
Mm-hmm.
Versus like these other people who are just reckless.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I always, I kind of made this, and I mean, obviously I'm not thinking about kids, but like, I was like, yo, the same people who ain't out here wearing masks, same people who ain't wearing a condom, right?
Whoa, I said the same shit.
Wow.
I drew the same comparison. You were all destined. Absolutely.
Oh,
that is hilarious.
Mind blowing.
Hey, I was gonna jump on my conspiracies L bag real quick, right?
We need an intro for this.
Yeah, conspiracy L, right? So, you know, I feel at the end of the day, man, this whole COVID thing is very benign. And I say that, man, what I mean by that is, like, there's really no definite of what's going to be the end. But at the end of the day, you see other things starting to be introduced to us as fun. AKA metaverse, virtual reality, right?
Bro, great segue.
Right?
Y'all about to get me on rant mode, right?
So check. So now you have TikToks of dum-dums recording their partners Molly whop their kids because they're so into the game, or they walking through doors, or because they're so into this virtual reality, right?
Yeah.
And so, what's a better way? And I think this world has done a great job at deceiving us, right? Wow. Hope the feds don't knock on the door. All right.
I know.
But anyway,
nah, bro.
Not my door.
So
this drop is a little too timed perfectly for me, bro.
You know, so when you think about it, right? You think about 9/11, they fooled you into terrorists, right? Whole time, they behind the whole terrorist attack, right?
Wow.
9/11, right? All right. So I'm dropping all the way into this conspiracy really bag, right?
Reduced to like.
right. So, all right, I'm going to keep this short. All right, we're in COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every so often, new variant,
right,
pushes everyone back into the house. People are getting very tired of being in the house. What's going to be the newfound escape? The metaverse, right?
Wow, you create a drug,
right? Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, you already have, and this is all documented, that you already have celebrities buying property in the metaverse. Why, you say? Why, you say? Because it's going to be worth more than reality. You know, that's why the dollar's going down. Like, wake up, people! Like, we're in a very transitional point. Right. And you know, NFTs.
Okay.
You know, you look at all, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, I talked to one of my homies today. He's like, yeah, I think that's going to be gone in the next. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
bro.
Everything's moving towards digital.
It is.
So,
and I mean, I want to say this too, because I want to be fair to the listeners and, you know, acknowledge that there, as we go into this new year, you know, those two buzzwords, we talk about NFTs and we talk about the metaverse. And I want to do my job on helping people understand what it is, or give my understanding to what those are.
Educate us, brother.
So, you know, with the metaverse, to my understanding, we know that it is a virtual reality world, if you will, or other worlds or universes. And, you know, it's like, well, how do you get there? You have different, like, vessels, Oculus, you know, people are using virtual reality devices to enter into this metaverse, which is really being developed, like, as we speak. You know, you have a lot of people putting energy to it, and to the point where I saw something very interesting, where I think the Brooklyn Nets, like, they had purchased like a set of cameras that interface with the metaverse, so anybody who gets on their Oculus or their virtual device, they're able to be at the game courtside, damn near like you on the court. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's an experience, and I think
that's dope.
That's what's happening. You know, that's kind of like the cool part about it, because, you know, the experience is being created. But I also believe that there's risk there associated with this metaverse. So that is my understanding of the metaverse. And we can talk for hours about like the downside, but I'm gonna go into NFTs because I work in the art world, and you know, it's I'm learning as we go, but you know, NFTs is I would say a graphic, a piece of art, and it's not even a piece, it's a digitized piece of art. Like you say this right here is been digitized, you know what I'm saying? And now one thing that it does is you can manipulate it, and you can make this a one-of-one and available, and you can put a price on it, if you will. I think also with the NFT, it gives the artist more ownership to their artwork. You know what I mean? And you can do all sorts of creative things and give people access to this digital contract, or you know, you can associate it with like Bitcoin. It's kind of like digital currency, if you will.
That's right.
And it's being driven, right? This is one thing, you know, because I don't know how long this is going to be, but like you said, it's being driven by, I guess, the who's who. And you have a lot of celebrities, right? Yeah. Like a lot of demand or interest is being created. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you have celebrities that are buying NFTs, this digital art for them for 40 grand. You know what I mean? And translate however in Bitcoin or whatever. Yeah, yeah, but it's their art. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? The cool that's added is that, hey, I'm a celebrity and I have this. And you know how we are as a society. Not us per se, but we want to be a part.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
We want to be relevant. You know what I mean? And things like that. And it does blow my mind because, Lionel, you mentioned like how somebody bought real estate. You bought digital real estate. You spent $500,000.
Thank you. Just put the figures out. It's not like
to buy it's, a property that you can't really live in except in your Oculus. So you have a mansion in your mansion, Mr. $500,000 person? Like, why are we, and you know what, it's your money, but why are we wasting it like that, bro? Homeless people can't live in the metaverse.
Not at all.
You can't eat a meal.
That's an interesting point that you make with that, because that's bringing more of the ethical side to this. Like, are people even kind of like looking at it like that? Because I haven't really heard that, and I think there are some really good questions out there. Like, is this a safe thing? Is it something that's sustainable? How do we make this something that is equitable for others to participate in? Because if you don't have the means, if you don't have the money,
can't be there.
Then you're on the outside, and now we have another situation where it's about the haves and have-nots.
Facts.
And even when we're talking about cryptocurrency, and that's, you know, I've heard conversation about that being like something to try to close the wealth gap, but I haven't really seen how that's being, like, because the education on it is still very, very, like, low, I think, in the urban communities, and people being able to fill. I mean, even though, like, the access is there, people don't really have a mindset of how to really
understanding behind it. Yeah.
And so, to me, my fear is the same thing is going to end up happening. Like, the people that know, the people that have the attention to really learn something that's new and cutting edge are going to be the beneficiaries. And essentially, we live in America. This is a capitalistic society.
That's right.
The, you know, top 1-2% is going to occupy it and find a way to utilize it to build their own wealth and legacy. And, you know, I think, you know, that's going to be a conversation we're going to look back and saying, like, yo, like, we didn't know about this, or maybe we had access to it, but we didn't have the means to really make a huge impact on it. So I don't know, you know? I mean,
yeah. 2022 is, you know, we have to prepare ourselves, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be an interesting year, you know, and there's pros and there's cons that comes to that. And we are going to be introduced to a lot of stuff, you know, the society, media, whoever is going to introduce us to that. And, you know, we have a choice to either accept or reject it. You know what I mean? And I think that as we progress, there's going to be more things that are going to just be thrown at us. And we have the opportunity to choose accordingly. Though I am looking forward to this year, you know, it has definitely been, I think, just challenging. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Definitely been challenges. And, I mean, I process everything as we go. And, you know, at the same time, I appreciate it, but it can really be concerning, man, you know, and I realize that things are not going to get any easier, right? So here we are, you know, and we ask many questions while we're on this platform, you know what I mean? Like right now, I think the key skill that we all need to have is like endurance, right? And being able to teach our children to endure. You know what I mean? Because we're going through so many challenges and changes at this time. You know what I mean? And then we're experiencing it, but we also have to take in consideration what our kids are experiencing. You know what I'm saying? As fathers, and crazy enough, like, getting vulnerable and not even trying to bring it down, but, you know, I had to really, you know, my son lost a friend, you know, a schoolmate, a campmate of his going into this year. And, you know, I was challenged to be able to have to communicate that. You know what I'm saying? And that wasn't easy. You know what I'm saying? But I know that it was necessary. And, you know, as I thought, like, how am I going to communicate this disappointment? I had nothing but the intention to kind of help him prepare for this uphill battle that we're going to face.
Wow.
How did you have that conversation with him?
Yeah, I love that. That's a good question, man. That's a very good question. Well, you know, one, I had a chance to talk with my wife, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, she was the one who actually gave me the news or whatever about the loss or whatever. And, you know, we all just took it in, you know what I'm saying? Got to process. And, you know, I don't think there's no perfect way to tell somebody that.
True.
But I wanted to make sure that I was taking note of timing and environment. You know what I mean? Because sometimes when you get unfortunate news, you know, you just have to be, sometimes you control the environment, sometimes you can't. Right. So, you know, I found this out an hour before I had to pick him up from the bus stop.
Wow.
Right? Sheesh. So, yeah, me and my wife, Kiki, were like, all right, you know what? Let's just sit him down. And I was like, you know, I'll take lead on this one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just thinking about what I was going to say and everything. And, you know, he got off the bus and, you know, he's happy as ever. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm like, hey, man, you know, it's good to see you. You know what I mean? I greet him and everything. And I was like, hey, man, I got some news for you, bro. I got some unfortunate news for you when we get in. But, you know, let me sit you down and, you know, I mean, let me do this properly. And he's like, what is it, Dad? You can tell me. You know what I mean? We only but like 1 minute away from the bus. Come on, you can tell me. You can tell me, man. What happened? You can tell me. I'm like, I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate news. What is it? Did somebody die? I was like, let's just go inside. So, you know, we sit down and I'm just like, yo, man. You know, I was like, listen, bro. I hate to tell you this, man, but unfortunately, you know, your friend, he passed away. You know what I mean? Told him his name and everything. And, you know, he just, I looked and he was just like, he was disappointed, you know? And I was like, dude, I'm really sorry about your loss, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really unfortunate because if anybody was as close, he was, you know what I mean? Like, right. They were really cool like that. You know, he would mention his name and talk about him. You know, all summer, you know what I mean? Just talking all the time. And, you know, I knew it was going to have some weight with it. You feel me? And, you know, from there, I kind of just let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I believe you can never say the right thing when somebody is going through, you know, a disappointment or loss. Like, sometimes you just got to be there. So... Yeah. I let that sit and, you know, he processed, you know what I'm saying? And it was hard, you know, because I saw the hurt, you know what I mean? To the point where homie just had to lay down, you know what I mean? Like, that's heavy news, you know, he had to, you know, take a little nap or whatever. And, you know, it wasn't as complicated as it was in my mind, you know, I had to let him know because I didn't want any, you know, I was talking to somebody and they were like, well, do you really have to tell him? And I was like, you know, I'd rather him learn from me than get that unfortunate news from somebody else. I mean, from crying aloud, you know, he's 8, you know, getting ready to turn 9. So this isn't all the way normal, you know, when 8-year-olds lose their friends and stuff like that. So, you know, the only thing you can do is tell them that, hey, you know, you lost your friend and, you know, I know that you had some good times and, You know, the one inspiring thing, the one thing that I could tell him was, you know, this energy that you have, that you still have, this joy, this radiance, this creativity, you know, use it for your boy, in memory of your boy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And use that creativity and do a tribute or write, or, you know, even how we're doing, you know, we're using our creative energy and we're sharing it, you know what I'm saying? As we should it. And you know, that was really the thing that I feel like got us through. And you know, I want to say on a lovely note, on a lighter note, man, kids are so resilient. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids are really resilient. And you know, always be remembered or whatever, but it tells us that we have to continue to just proceed, you know, exist. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's the one thing I had to express to them.
I mean, I know we talked about this offline, but I just wanted to, you know, let you know we really appreciate you just sharing that. And I mean, I think obviously it's not a conversation that you look forward to having, and or having that kind of conversation with your kid. But let's just be honest, man, like, you know, death is guaranteed in life, you
guaranteed
know? And only guaranteed. Something that we gotta prepare for talking about and addressing, you know. I guess I could say from a fortunate standpoint, like, you know, we don't have anybody in our family that has passed away. Or even in this time during like COVID, you know, we've been fortunate with my extended family and things like that. But in the back of my mind, like, this conversation just reminds me just of like the mortality that we ultimately have, and you know, and recognizing like, yeah, like, at some point we will have to sit down and have this conversation. And, you know, Lord willing, I'll be the person that can have the conversation, because life is not promised. Like, I, you know, I cannot be here tomorrow, right? You know, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, who are the people that we really are trying to be? Who are the you know, the kind of people and the kind of legacy that we want to leave for our kids, you know, for them to know, like, you know what, like, and like you said, like, Jackson, and just is inspiring him to say, like, don't let your living and don't let this situation be in vain. I think that's something that we can all kind of take from that. Like, I don't want my living to be in vain. So now what? You know, like, I don't want to be in this space where I'm stuck and afraid, even though anxiety and fear is real. Right. But how am I going to, you know, face that? How am I going to overcome and be courageous to go beyond what those feelings can be, right? So
That's real. I feel all of that, man. And yeah, I think, Jamar, you hit it on the head, man. It's just no easy way to say it, man. You know, I've been in that, unfortunately, I've been in the bearer of bad news many times. My oldest is 14, so she's had a lot of losses in her young life already. You know, aunts, grandmother, great-grandmother, but a great grandfather, you know, so she's seen some people leave. And you know, and I think one of the things, like you said, Jamar, I think you hit it on the head, just holding that space, and being there, you know. And I think sometimes that's really all you can do, and you know, I think one thing I wanted to add to what you said, how resilient kids are, and I agree with you 100%, but I also think they're only as resilient as their support. You know, so having, you know, you and mom, you know, Shakima there, you know, to hold him down and be there to support him and give him that news in a very helpful and loving way, you know, I think those are the things that makes kids resilient and keeps them like, okay, I can get through this.
Right.
You know, I still, you know, like, keeping perspective on what you know, what's actually they can control. And, you know, and I think, but I do think there's an element, man, where death anxiety is a real thing. And I mean, you have adults that still have this feeling of death anxiety or this fear of death. And you know, I can just kind of think back from a young age, me being petrified of death. Mm-hmm. Like the whole concept of heaven and hell and that mm-hmm. being like a yeah. very, I would say more confusing perspective on life after death, right? Right. And, you know, because I'll be honest, you know, nobody's ever died and told us what it's like, right? Right. You know, so we can only go off of what, you know, theory is or what, you know, has been speculated in different writings. But I would say as I become a man, you know, I've created my own meaning behind it. And I do feel like our children have to learn that meaning for themselves.
Yes. You know?
And but also be able to help them understand it a little bit better. And I think it's hard though. You know, I can just last week, my daughter, my middle two, they're 8 and 7. Mm-hmm. They just got the idea that, hey, one day everybody's going to die. They just got that understanding that one day everyone's going to die, right? Because everything you think about as a kid is all play, it's fantasy,
yep.
right? And they don't really factor in, like, damn, one day I'm going to die.
Right.
One day my mom, my sister, you know? So those are like, and I know we're getting super dark here, guys, but hang with us. We're going to tie it in.
It's
but
deep.
It's deep. But I do think at the end of the day, you know, it's part of life, and we have to also embrace it, but we also have to embrace life, and
right.
and but death comes with that because that's part of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm gonna say this right, like, because we're bringing it all in, right? Because we are in this world of anxiety of death,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this pandemic has everybody afraid right.
yep.
of dying,
yep.
right? And yep. how that's timely right. for this to occur. And this whole situation that we're experiencing has been like an eye opener for me, like for real, you know. And it also like reminds me of God's power and how anything can happen. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And how we can use these moments to learn, to bring ourselves up, to find joy, to just feel, to teach.
Right.
We use these moments, you know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, one of my many missions in life is to do my best as a father, is to prepare my child, you know, for whatever comes towards him, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
unfortunately, you know, this thing happened, but, you know, sometimes it's like the sooner, you know, the sooner they learn, you know, maybe the better it is, you know, like how you talk about JL and how she experienced loss at a young age. I know that also came with a great deal of understanding, growth, and maturity as well, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, preparation and to learn how to cope with disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are going to be disappointed in life.
Yeah.
We unfortunately will happen. Where we hope something happens and it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or something goes exact opposite. But I think it's up to us to be able to find the blessing.
Mm.
And the joy. And the silver lining. Whatever you want to call it. In these situations.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it just also reinforces the importance of family. Having a community or having loved ones that's around
yes.
you. Because it's like, how scary is it to experience all this without people that you care about
mm-hmm.
or people that you know care about you? So
mm-hmm.
this is just a plug, man. Just make mm-hmm. sure y'all tell people that you love them, man. Like,
love
if it's anything people. That we can do, that's the least we can do is just like tell people you love them, man. So even to y'all, man, to y'all kings, man, love y'all.
Love
like,
y'all, man.
Much love for real.
Man. Absolutely.
So, you know, to our kids, to our spouses.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to just take things for granted, and it's hard, right? Yeah. Like life is beautiful, life is great, but it's hard as a mug, dog. Like it's a lot that we deal with, and you know, but I still feel and feel inspiration in these moments too, where we can reflect and
exactly.
speak on it, and hopefully we can not succumb to the anxieties of fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
Or fear of flying to come up and continue to strive to be great.
Because
I think
mm-hmm.
there's that middle ground where people are in this space of just like just existing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where like I'm not trying to die, but I'm not trying to mm-hmm. go too far. Right. Like, I'm not trying to take a risk, right? So mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. You know, back to that vein of just like, I don't want, you know, to look back and feel like I look back because I was just so scared of everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, but I think it having a community is so important, and having people that you can talk to. So that's just huge, man. So
I really got to see the beauty of that in the power of like community, and I think something just came inside me to just figure out what it was that we could do to help the ones affected, you know, the family, the mother, the father, anyone, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was grateful for that, you know what I mean? And I think that's what community is supposed to do, you know what I mean? When we go through these times, man, we really do have to come together and remind each other mm-hmm. that we're not alone. And I think during this time of this pandemic, where we're challenged to be distant, we're challenged, we still have to fight to keep community. Yeah. You know, we still have to fight to keep that. Mm-hmm. Even regardless, because you know what? We got so many distractions.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm. right now. You feel me? We just talking about a couple, you know what I mean? Like, for real, NFTs aren't important. And the metaverse is not either, guys. Like, I don't care what y'all say. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion. I'm gonna be opinionated. You feel me? And it's just not important, for real, at the end of the day. When I'm gonna have a funeral in the metaverse, it might be dope, yeah, but... Yeah.
Like, it's not, like you said, it's not important compared to real life situations. Like, when it comes to, you know, food, shelter, security,
the essentials,
love, belonging, right? I mean, it's not, you know, I think it just makes life a little bit more complicated, right? Again, we're going to be a little subjective here, but
here we are.
I think at the end of the day, you know, we're all in a space where we want to see what's best for our families, and we want to see what's best for, you know, in people in general. And, it's all about keeping perspective and making sure that you are communicating what needs to be communicated to the people you love on a consistent basis and not take it for granted. Because it's so easy to do. So easy to do to get caught into the rat race.
Yes, it is. For sure. Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah, I think we need a deep breath on this conversation, guys. You know,
yeah,
a little bit.
Definitely. I mean, this is supposed to be a ride. You know, it's a journey. It's a roller coaster, if you will. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Man, yeah, this has been dope, though. I mean, I think hopefully the listeners will want to engage with us. I don't know. Is what we got, man? Is there a way we can invite our listeners to? I don't know. I know we got our Instagram page.
We do got our Instagram page right now. It's at Rated R the podcast. You know, we in transition with branding, but we're definitely going to be here to invite engagement, you know, and I think one vehicle that we're definitely going to use is Instagram, social media, but also just, I'm always going to have conversation with people, and I'm always going to bring it back, you know what I'm saying, to the king, so that we continue to talk about it or whatever, you know what I mean? You know me, man, holla at me when you see me, you know what I'm saying?
Facts. And speaking of the king, man, I wanna end on a quote here. As we've been talking about, you know, living life and finding out what's important. And this is actually based on a eulogy that Martin Luther King Jr. kind of spoke for himself. And even though it's kind of morbid, it is inspirational. And I'm just gonna paraphrase, so don't at me if I'm getting this wrong. But essentially, in response to the fact that, you know, he's going to have his day where he passes, you know, he's talking about, hey, man, tell him not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell him not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. Or if we wanted to adapt it now, like, don't tell him that I have a bunch of NFTs or I got a bunch of money in the bank, right? But I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King tried to love somebody. So I think that's what we can do. We can be inspired to just be there, to be present, to do our best to just show people that we care, man. And so,
yes, sir.
And do the same for ourselves.
Yes, sir.
That's yeah. right.
That's what it's about, man. We're going forward in 2020, man, and it's got to be more love, you feel me? Thanks. So yeah. we got love for y'all. We love y'all for listening. You know,
thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, we appreciate it, man. And we look forward to connecting with y'all more, man. So, Sean, thank you for landing this play, man. And I guess we can take it down. We at that time where, you know, we got to get ready to tuck the little ones in, you know, getting close to the bedtime and whatnot, man. But again, this has been Cul-de-sac Kings.
Kings!
The Kings, bro.
That'd be easy. Peace.
Peace.